And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi?
Rabbi? Hello.
Oh, I hear you loud and clear. How are you, Rabbi?
Thank God. How are you?
I am good. I am good.
Happy to hear. So I'm happy we're back on.
Yeah, we are back on, and we can hear you, and you can hear me, and I believe that the listeners can hear both of us.
I hope so. Okay, so let's get, as they say, let's get cracking.
That's it.
So we have this week's Torah portion is, we've started the second book, obviously, of Shemot, of Exodus. Fascinating story, fascinating book in regards with the birth of the Jews, of the nation, as well as going to be the free nation, and now that they're in slavery, so on and so forth. Fascinating, so many things we can talk about this for absolutely for hours. So God reveals himself to Moses, employing the four expressions of redemption, you know, take the children out of Egypt, we are his chosen people, he's going to choose us at Mount Sinai, so on and so forth. Moses and Aaron repeatedly come before Pharaoh to demand in the name of God, let my people go so they may serve me in the wilderness. And obviously, Pharaoh repeatedly refuses, as we know. And Aaron's staff turns into a snake and swallows the magician's staff. And then God sends a series of plagues to Egypt. We don't talk about all the plagues in this week's Torah portion. Some we will talk about next week's Torah portion. But in this week's Torah portion, he turns the Nile into blood, the swarms of frogs over the land, light, hordes of wild animals, pestilence kills the domestic animals, painful boils, and we still see devastating hail. And what do we see? The heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the children go. So it's interesting because we see, obviously, and everyone knows the biblical accounts of the Jewish exodus from Egypt, and it is really, if you look deep into one of the most inspiring stories for the oppressed, the enslaved, the downtrodden, which is really throughout all of history. So many times we see in life so many different things that happen in different parts of the world, slavery and then freedom. But the narrative of the Exodus of Egypt provides countless people with the courage to hope for a better future and to act on the dream. So we see that obviously Moses' first visit to Pharaoh demanding liberty for his people only brought more misery to the Hebrew slaves. The Egyptian monarch increased their torture. And now the Hebrews now would not listen any longer to the promise of redemption because they see there's no end in sight. So what do we see? The verse says, the God spoke to Moses and to Aaron, and he commanded them to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Let them go free.
Yeah.
So God is charging Moses with two directives. One, command the people of Israel, and then command Pharaoh, the king. Now, if you think about it, if you look at that verse, the verse is very ambiguous, because what did God command Moses to instruct the people? The message to Pharaoh, that's clear. Let the children of Israel out of Egypt. That makes a lot of sense. But what was it that Moses supposed, and what was he supposed to command the people themselves? So the Talmud says something profoundly incredible. God instructed Moses to command to the Jewish people the laws of freeing slaves. Because the Talmud continues, and what is he referring to? He's referring to the law recorded later on in this book of Exodus, that if a Jew sells himself as a slave, the owner must let him go after 6 years.
Yeah.
And it is forbidden to hold on to the slave for any longer. And this was the law that Moses was to share with the Israelites, with the people, while they were in Egyptian bondage, Egyptian slavery. And the Talmud bases this all on the seemingly unfounded interpretation that is brought down in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, where he says, and I quote these words because it's so fascinating and such an important lesson in our daily life if we truly want to be free. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, so says the Lord of God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers on the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, saying, at the end of 7 years you shall let go every man, his brother Jew who has been sold to you, and when he has served you for 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. So the question is, where do we find a covenant made by God with the Jewish people when they left Egypt to free their slaves? We don't see any covenant that says that. And in a brilliant speculation, the Talmud suggests that this is the meaning of what God was saying. God spoke to Moses and Aaron, and he commanded them to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. To what? To let the children of Israel out of Egypt. The commandment to the children of Israel was to set free their slaves.
Yeah.
Very nice. So we would think, come on, what is this, some cruel joke? The children of Israel at this point were crushed, tormented. They were subjugated to, you know, a tyrannical regime. They had horrific torture. Yet at this point in time, God wants Moses to command them about the laws relevant to the slave owner and freeing the slave, and this is what you're going to be doing? This is a cruel joke, if you think about it. And really, and this is where the message that I really want to bring home, is the answer to this question is really what God was telling Moses. Before Pharaoh can liberate the Jewish slaves, they must be ready to become free. You know what the expression is? You can take a man out of slavery, but it may prove more challenging to take slavery out of a man.
Yeah.
Externally, we may be free. Internally,
we are still slaves.
We may still be enslaved. So what is the first and the foremost symptom of being free? That you learn to confer freedom onto others. You know, the dictator, the control freak, the abusive spousal parent does not know how to give others freedom. They are compelled to force others into the mold that they have created for them. Uncomfortable in their own skin, they are afraid someone will overshadow them, expose their weakness. Only when one learns to embrace others, not for whom he would like them to be, but for whom they are, then can begin, and that person can begin to embrace themselves. Not from who they wish he was, but from who he is. When we free those around us, in essence, what are we doing? We're freeing ourselves. By accepting them, we learn to accept ourselves. As the famous expression goes, who is powerful? He who empowers. Who is free? He who can free others. And who is a leader? He who creates other leaders. Now, all men, as in the race, can stand adversity. But if you want to test a person's power, give them power. We have to ask ourselves, do we know how to celebrate the soaring success of a loved one and a friend? Do we encourage them to spread their wings and maximize their potential? Can we allow others to shine? Now, so going back to this and bringing it all full circle, Pharaoh may set us free physically, but former slaves can become present tyrants. People who were abused often become abusers themselves. It's very sad. It is what they know about life. It is the paradigm that they were raised with. They grew up in slavery, they will continue the cycle with others. And so therefore, the first mitzvah the Jews have to hear from Moses, before even he can go to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go, one day you will be free. And we have to remember that freedom is a gift. And what do we do with it? We we use it to free others. And I think it's such an important lesson in today, in our daily life. We all want everyone has to be what I want them to be. Why don't we let them be what they can be? Bring out who they are. Bring out and show them that they are something so special. And be happy where someone has success. Be happy when someone does better than we're doing right now. And I think that was such an important lesson that we, as a people, as a nation, can really make sure and bring it and make it part of who we are in our life.
Definitely. And Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
We are having services 5:15 Friday evening, Shabbat morning 9:30, and Sunday morning 8:30 followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday 7:15 followed by 8 o'clock. You're out. Go to work, and so you start off on an amazing day.
Sounds good. I wish you a great weekend and Shabbat Shalom.
You too. And we look forward to talking next week.
God willing.
All right. Be well.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.